Welcome back. It's Friday. We made it through another week. Most of us did, anyway. Some haven't, and I think that some is capital letters. People are dying all over the planet, and they're dying with great vigor, as they say. It's happening, and I don't know what these new vaccines are going to bring about. They're not boosters. Just ask Pfizer and Moderna. They'll tell you. They're not boosters at all. They don't want to sound like they're having to provide something to make good on an earlier version that has failed. This is psychology they're playing. So they want to call it a new, I think their plan is a new annual vaccine. A new annual vaccine. I think that's their game. All right. Are you there, young lady?
I am.
Welcome back.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, yeah. You sound like you've had a wonderful day today.
Still here.
How are your paramedics doing? I know a lot of you listening are monitoring your paramedics and emergency medical calls and things. Busy all the time? Anything of particular note in this last week or so, few days?
No, I haven't seen it pick up any more than it has been. I mean, the predominant calls are for people who have fallen.
Yeah, fall, a lot of falls still. Okay, that's important.
So, you know, for whatever reason, they're losing their balance, and you know, a lot of them involve head strikes, so they're bleeding from the head.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's heart-related issues, tachycardia, shortness of breath, things of that nature. And then that's the majority of the calls, other than, you know, fire alarms.
This heart thing is huge, and it's not given the proper coverage. Well, what else is new in the media? There's a doctor who is saying something that I would politely disagree with, but he's saying, his name is Dr. Thomas Levy, or Levy. He says a minimum of 7 million Americans now have damaged hearts caused by being injected with the COVID-19 vaccines. Well, I would suggest that who was it that said every single person who's had that COVID injection, a viable one that worked, it wasn't a dud batch, has heart damage? Everyone. That was Malone, wasn't
it? Well, it was first Malone, but now Peter McCullough has come out and said the same thing.
There you go.
Well, you know, whether the person has symptoms or not, it's pretty much guaranteed that if you've been injected with this material, you have some measure of heart damage.
And do remember that a lot of that is asymptomatic heart damage. You're not going to know. You won't feel it for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that your immune system is no longer functioning appropriately. But the heart muscle is not one that is known for showing things like that in terms of manifesting pain or spasms or whatever. It just doesn't show. And that your poor heart is in so many cases now, 330 million Americans, 80% of that is about 250 million who have been injected with this death potion are now actually suffering not just from heart damage to one degree or another, but several dozen other potentials that can be just as deadly in the long run. It's just, these people are all, it's tragic what's happened, but even more tragic is the simple fact that the masses have not risen up and roasted their handlers for this.
It's amazing.
Yeah. They just took it and rolled over and dying. The other side of the heart issue is that the heart, do remember, the heart does not repair itself, nor does the brain. Those two organs do not regenerate new cells to replace cells that have been damaged, disabled, or destroyed. When they're gone, they're gone. So that's another angle here. Dr. William Mackus has been, as many of you know, he's a Canadian radiologist and oncologist who has diagnosed tens of thousands of different cancers in people. He's a professional's professional. He is talking more and more about turbo cancers. We're going to spend some time this hour with Dr. Mackus again. He's a good one. He's right up at the top of the list.
Yeah, I would agree. And his observations are, I mean, I don't know how you can argue with him. I know he's getting a lot of flack on the social media. They're really trying to shred him. You know, and of course, when they cannot address the merits of his observations and statements, that they go after his, you know, credentials, right. Whatever they can to throw dirt on him.
What kind of people are doing this? I don't mean by name, but is this shill activity?
Yeah, they're farmer shills, or, you know, academic shills, whatever.
Yeah, he's not rankling the rank and file. These are professional, and we've seen a lot of examples of that lately. More and more shills at work all over the place. They do it, and I think AI is being used to generate a lot of the material that is very incendiary, and seeks to certainly smear and defame people like Dr. Mackus. All right, he was just interviewed. Go ahead and set this up. Kelly Victor.
On the Dr. Drew show. This was a few days ago, and he's speaking about what he's been speaking about all along is these countless cases of cancer that are turning up now, primarily in the vaxxed. And the interesting thing he said, he sort of qualified it by saying that the cancers are more prevalent in those who have had the booster. So if you had one or two shots, you know, if you did get diagnosed with cancer, those cancers tend to be manageable or treatable. In the people who receive the booster, though, all bets are off. These seem to be the ones that are developing turbo cancers for whatever reason. Now, if you remember, that bivalent booster contained sequences for the original Wuhan strain of the virus on the spike, and then the Omicron. And there was some talk and speculation that, well, what is this Omicron variant? And people played around with the anagrams and came up with Oncomere.
Yes.
And suggested that could it be a cancer-causing variant? And I don't know if we ever really determined that. It is odd that not long after that variant was circulating and this booster came out is when we started to see a lot of these cancers.
Agreed.
Coincidence? I don't know.
I don't think these names are at all coincidental. The most current of the variants, three of them, are named Eris, that's the goddess of chaos and war, and I can never remember that. What is the other
Pirola.
One?
Pirola. Pirola.
P-A-R-O-L-A. P-I-R-O-L-A. Pirola. That's
yep.
It. Okay. And then the other one, which actually translates. And yes, it translates into furnace or oven.
Yep.
So who's naming these things? I mean, yeah. Play anagrams with Omicron. See what you come up with. I don't think that these are coincidental at all. Here's Dr. Mackus being interviewed by Dr. Kelly Victory. Now, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to kind of skip through this and pick it up just with Dr. Mackus and to make sure we get as much in as we want in this program. Now, for those of you out there who are dealing with turbo cancers, God bless you, because none of the traditional therapies are reportedly working virtually at all. They're not doing anything. So I have a feeling, and I'm not speaking for Erica, that there's something else been added to this this horror called a vaccine that is different. It's yes, we have the destruction and disabling of the body's normal anti-tumor, anti-cancer defense line. We've talked about that many times. You'll hear Dr. Mackus talk about it too. Yes, there's that. But I think that there may well be, if I were designing a bioweapon and I had an option to put something in it that would take a cancer and turn it into a turbo cancer, I would do it. I would put it in there. I'm not saying there is. Maybe the collapse of the normal body's anti-tumor, anti-cancer defense line is enough to cause turbo cancers. I don't necessarily go there real quick. I think that they may have put something else in there. We will not know for a long time if they did, but this is, it's too diabolical. These things are growing almost overnight. Tumors the size of what? What are we hearing?
Was it grapefruit or watermelon?
Something like that. One was a watermelon, and I think one was a grapefruit. But these are bigger than a softball. Understand? This is, think grapefruit. Think enormous grapefruit. Think watermelon. Not a 40-pounder, but, and these things grow in a matter of days. People are giving, professionals are giving the patients diagnoses of, well, you know, you might have a week. Good luck. I know you didn't know yesterday you have stage 4 cancer, but you do. This has got to be horrific for practitioners. I just can't even imagine giving that kind of news to people. All right, here we go. Now, these are going to be in segments, so we're going to play the first segment, and Dr. Kelly Victory is there, and Macus is going to talk and give us about a 2-minute overview on turbo cancers. Whoop, hold on.
These turbo cancers, as they're being called, these very aggressive cancers that are showing up in young COVID-vaccinated people. The youngest case I've reported is a 12-year-old boy who had a Moderna vaccine and came down with end-stage brain cancer that killed him in less than a year. I'm seeing it in teenagers, in university and college students who are mandated to take COVID vaccines. People in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s are coming down with stage 4 cancers. These cancers are presenting at a late stage, stage 3, but usually stage 4. These are lymphomas, leukemias. These are breast cancers, colon cancers, lung cancers, hepatobiliary cancers, testicular cancers in young men, ovarian cancers in women, kidney cancers, renal cell cancers, melanomas, skin cancers, and sarcomas as well. So these are the types of cancers that are showing up in a younger cohort than oncologists expect. They're showing up at a late stage. The tumors can grow very large. So some of these tumors are described as football-sized, even watermelon-sized. You know, these are 10, 15-centimeter tumors. And they're very aggressive, and they spread very rapidly. So even when the surgeons are trying to get at them, trying to surgically excise them so that they could control the tumor, what they usually find after surgery is that the tumor has already spread. It's already spread to the lymph nodes. It's already spread to the lungs or the bones. Very aggressive cancers, and really related to the COVID-19 vaccine specifically, and mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines.
Well, one of the things, let me just step back for a second, because one of the things that might not be known to our audience is that all cancers are not created equal with regard to the population that they hit. You know, for example, we not uncommonly and tragically see certain blood cancers in children, leukemias, for example. It wouldn't be uncommon to see a brain tumor, brain cancers sometimes in young children. It would be extraordinarily uncommon to see a colon cancer in somebody before the fourth or fifth decade. Very uncommon to see a lung cancer before the fourth or fifth decade. Those sorts of things. Extremely uncommon to see. So some of these cancers that we are seeing, and I think you're getting at that, things like these colon cancers, we are now seeing colon cancers in people in their late teens, 20s, and 30s. And again, as you said, very aggressive colon cancers. So it's not just that cancers per se, but it's seeing cancers in groups of people in whom I'd never seen a colon cancer in somebody under the age of 45 in my life until these COVID vaccines. So let's, in terms of, just to put some magnitude on it, in terms of, give us some sense of the magnitude versus what we would have considered to be the baseline numbers for cancer rates.
You know, it's very hard to get a sense of this because it's almost impossible to get good cancer data from the governments. Ed Dowd has talked about this, the difficulty of getting good data. You know, I've tried to get cancer data here in Canada from Statistics Canada, from the Canadian Cancer Society, and they are not reporting any data from 2021 or 2022. It seems they're holding this data back. And so I'm left with anecdotal evidence. And when Ed Dowd, you know, he'll report from U.S. insurance data that disability rates in the working population, let's say ages 18 to 64, who abided by the COVID vaccine mandates, disability rates are 500% higher mm-hmm. compared to the working population who dropped out of the workforce and didn't want to get the vaccines. Well, a big portion of those disabilities are these cancers, are these cancer diagnoses. And so, you know, I'm seeing an explosion of these cancers. I'm seeing it in doctors. I'm seeing it in nurses. I'm seeing it in other vaccine mandated professions. So all types of healthcare workers, I'm seeing it in teachers. I'm seeing it in police officers, firefighters, the military. You know, you see it in flight attendants, for example. You know, you had these airlines that wanted to have 100% vaccinated workforce. So really anywhere where there were very strict COVID vaccine mandates, that's where I'm seeing these explosions of these very aggressive cancers. And I can tell you, this year, 2023, seems to be much worse. There's many more cases of these turbo cancers than in 2022 or 2021. The trend is upwards. The numbers are on the rise. You can see this on websites like GoFundMe. If you go on GoFundMe and you put stage four cancer, and you can pick whatever cancer you want. You could put, you know, breast cancer, you could put lung cancer, colon cancer. Not only are you seeing the shocking ages, young ages of these individuals who are reporting their cancers and their fundraising because, you know, they lose their jobs when they're undergoing chemotherapy, for example. But you see just how many people are suffering, are coming down from these cancers, especially in 2023. It's just unbelievable. It's a tsunami of cancer diagnoses.
And a tsunami of cancer deaths. He also said that over 200 Canadian physicians have died suddenly. And those are the known Canadian doctors who have died. But it's a panorama of catastrophe everywhere you look. This is a big story that is obviously not something you're going to see headlined on any of the major commercial networks in this country. No chance.
No, and we had those, you know, long list of school teachers now coming down with cancers. You know, younger people.
That's right. That's right. I remember that now.
It's utterly tragic.
Yeah. I just can't even imagine going in with a complaint of, you know, pain in your leg or whatever. There's so many types of complaints, and being told after the workup that we need to get an MRI and x-rays, and they come back and tell you you've got stage four, this or that. And we're going to get into the top three types of cancers and so forth as we continue this. All right, here's the next little segment.
The medical authorities tried to explain this away by saying, well, you know, we missed a whole bunch of screenings and, you know, people had their, you know, their cancer appointments canceled for several months. And that's why we're seeing this surge of cancers. It does not explain the behavior of these cancers. And that is really the key, is that these cancers are behaving completely differently. You have recurrences of people who were in remission, and these recurrences are extremely aggressive. You have the presentation at stage four in very young groups, which is highly unusual. They grow very, very rapidly. They spread rapidly. And they're also resistant to conventional treatments. So these turbo cancers seem to be highly resistant to conventional chemotherapy regimens and conventional radiation therapy regimens or even immunotherapy regimens. You will see this in testimonials of people on their GoFundMe pages. They will say, I found out my chemo didn't work. I found out, you know, the radiation therapy right. didn't work, and the cancer just kept growing throughout treatment. So this is not explained by missed screenings or missed appointments. We are dealing with a new phenomenon, and a phenomenon where these cancers are behaving completely differently, unlike anything I've seen in my career. And I've diagnosed tens of thousands of cancer patients in my career, and I have simply not seen this kind of behavior before. So this is not something we can just explain away by some missed screening and missed appointments.
And that was an approach that was taken by a number of people to try to sweep the turbo cancer issue off the top of the heap and hide it. Oh, they just missed their normal annual cancer screening, and these cases are all stacked up now. It's just more cancer. No, that's an obvious lie, and it's a construct that has no reflection in reality. That's not what this is at all, as you just heard Dr. Mackes say. Nothing to do with missing cancer screenings. Nothing.
No, but particularly for young people who, you know, because of their age, they're not subjected to cancer screenings.
No. He's right on top of this. This is one of the biggest medical stories, in addition to the vaccine, of course, but this turbo cancer explosion. That and what we've been talking about for a long, long time here, the prion issue, prions in the brain. Prions. Everywhere you go, everywhere there are spike proteins, they're going to be prions, basically. And if they agglutinate in the brain, you're gone. It's that simple. And other major organs. Prion proteins are very, very troublesome. It's being polite.
Yeah, and this spike can act as a protein seed or an amyloid seed. An amyloid is a misfolded protein. And wherever that happens, that you're going to have problems.
When you hear people trying to explain this away as just missed annual cancer screenings, I don't know how many people have annual cancer screenings. I've never had one. I guess there are people that do that because their health plan tells them to get one and they cover
yeah.
it. But
it would be, you know, for women, a pap smear every year, or, and then at a certain age, a mammogram every year, and then colon cancer screening, prostate cancer screening.
Right. Yeah, let's push those mammograms. How insane
right.
is that? Honest right. to God, you're irradiating tissue that is already prone to being a collection point for a lot of body toxicity, and you're going to try and tweak those cells with radiation, and not intentionally, allegedly. But you're literally causing tumor activity in the body with radiation.
Well, if there is a tumor in there and you compress it and break it apart, it has a greater chance of metastasizing.
Of course. I just don't understand this whole Western medicine thing. And the body is so incredibly sophisticated. And these approaches appear to be almost like from the Middle Ages.
Barbaric. Utterly barbaric.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, that's crazy. All right, we're going to move into now the idea of the DNA plasmids. Now, more and more people are calling it DNA contamination. I've seen one story that said in the average dose, in other words, a single dose of the non-vaccine bioweapon, that up to 400 billion pieces of DNA can be in each injection. There have been other stories that say 200 billion. Erica saw one that said 100 billion. There's not a whole lot of difference. That's a hell of a lot of DNA that is not, capital N-O-T, supposed to be in these injections. It's not supposed to be there. Now, you're going to hear it referred to as DNA contamination, and yet Pfizer has come out now and said that they will not change their production methods at all to take into account that there might be DNA contamination. Why? Because the DNA is not a contaminant. In my view, it is supposed to be in there. I don't know how else you can possibly read it. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're having to address it now, and you're going to see probably interviews now with people trying to explain what might have happened. And what I see setting up is they're going to try to blame it on the subcontractors, the facilities that were charged with actually producing the final product.
That like they auto parts suppliers, I get it.
Yeah, they didn't do it properly or something, so that right. it's not really Pfizer's fault or Moderna's fault. It's the subcontractor's fault. That's where I see this going.
Quality control doesn't really apply to Pfizer or Moderna then, does it? Nah, it's always
right.
somebody else's fault. All right, let's see what Dr. Mackus has to say about the DNA plasmid contamination issue. No, it's not contamination. It's part of the package.
Or it would be DNA contamination of the Pfizer and Moderna vials.
Good, yes. Yes.
Because that's actually not supposed to be a component of the vaccine. This is a contaminant left over from the manufacturing process. So I would put that as another category, potentially contributing to this surge of turbo cancers. But we can start with the damage to the immune system. You know, I've seen this damage to the immune system back in 2021. When we had the first publications on negative vaccine efficacy, and you started seeing the double vaccinated after a number of months, let's say 6 months, they were getting infected with COVID-19 at higher rates, sometimes double, sometimes triple the rate of an unvaccinated person. And they started filling the hospitals, and they started filling the intensive care units and dying. And you could tell that from the data, from the government data, that there was severe immune system damage being inflicted on the double vaccinated. And then the triple vaccinated took over and they started filling up the hospitals. And then in Australia, the quadruple vaccinated were filling up the hospitals and were dying at record rates. And the Canadian and Australian governments responded by deleting all vaccine status data of people in the hospitals. So we didn't know at some point who was dying, but it was the vaccinated who were making up 90% of the hospitalizations and deaths. So we already had evidence that the immune systems were being damaged in thousands of vaccinated people. And from the Cleveland Clinic study, we know that the more vaccine doses you take, the more damage your immune system takes on.
Right.
And so the more likely you are to get infected. But the problem with having a damaged immune system, and you know, we can get into the sort of the complicated details of that, but when you have a damaged immune system, you have damaged cancer surveillance. That's sort of the bottom line, is
yes.
that, you know, your T cells and your immune cells are constantly surveying your body for cancerous cells and mutated cells and destroying them, getting rid of them. If you have severe immune system damage that these mRNA vaccines seem to be causing, you lose that protection. You lose your immune system surveillance. And in some people, this seems to really be a very severe problem, and it makes them predisposed to getting these very aggressive cancers.
Okay. Any comment on that section?
I agree. That's very, very logical and is probably part of what's happening.
No, there's no stretch anywhere there. He's just laying it out. I don't see Pfizer or Moderna ever being held accountable for any of this massive destruction of human life. And that's exactly what it is. I just don't see it. Who's going to do it?
Right.
They keep calling it a vaccine. And I wouldn't at all accept this new shot that's out now as being really anything much less than another booster, a tweaked version of the former boot, whatever. These are all in a series. They're trying to call it a brand new annual vaccine. I don't think that's a correct way to look at it. What do you think?
Yeah, well, we really don't know what's in it. You know, it's
no,
supposed to be
no.
the spike for the XBB, what is it, 1.2? 2.1,
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
a variant that has now come and gone. I don't know. It's a mystery injection. None of it's good.
No. No. No chance.
It doesn't provide any protection. If anything, it further dysregulates the immune system, further taxes the immune system. And I'm going to guess turns these people that take it into super shedders.
And let's not forget any of the other major themes. Clotting, microclotting, strokes, sludge blood. Your heart is just wearing itself out trying to push this horrible goo through your system. And we looked at some video today of human blood flow. Did you get a chance to see that again, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
It was on. Yeah. And yeah, we were looking at it together. That's right. It goes so fast, the blood. It's under pressure. And when it's sludge, how can the heart be expected to do that? It can't be. And yet people are walking around feeling relatively normal. Their symptomology has been, remember, disabled to a large degree. And we're going to talk about that as well. And yet this is going on, and people wonder why the hearts are just quitting. There are a number of reasons for that. All right, IgG4 is next. IgG4, which dovetails into what I'm just suggesting, that your body's symptomology reflex has largely been corrupted. Tell us more about IgG4.
Well, that's a class of antibodies that signal to the body that you don't have to react to a certain protein that you've been exposed to repeatedly. The body has decided, well, this protein's here. It's not a threat. So don't react to it. So they're able to tolerate this protein, even though it is quite poisonous. It's not creating the inflammation and the hypersensitivity reaction that it normally would for an immunogen.
So this antibody is telling the body, don't worry, be happy, ignore this one. Don't worry about it. Diabolical trick.
The danger with that is that if and when they do get exposed to the virus, they will tolerate the virus. The virus will come right in and replicate to high levels.
Right.
And, you know, it probably take them out. And then they'll be horribly contagious to other people. They'll be shedding, you know, the virus profusely.
I went into Rite Aid today, and I didn't stay long for obvious reasons. I just stuck my head in the door and looked over toward where they give the injections, and they were very busy. The door was closed. They had people in there. Apparently, when the door was open, it shouldn't have been when I was in there, last week, whenever. But they were, parking lot was full. They were lined up. So they're still at it.
Boy.
And I don't care what they call it. It's another, every shot you get does more damage to you. Just think about it that way. That's a kind of a simplistic but a safe way to look at it in terms of reality. It's real. Every time you get a shot of this stuff, God knows what they've done to tweak it in the interim between your third and fourth shot or your second booster, whatever, or this new, it's a new booster, but they're calling it a brand new vaccine. So IgG4, the increase in production of that antibody is tied to these injections, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and it's specific for the Pfizer Moderna, the lipid nanoparticle mRNA platform, and much less so with the adenoviral vector ones, which would include AstraZeneca, J&J, and Sputnik.
Very good. All right, here we go. Dr. William Mackis on IgG4.
He actually published on this, this IgG4 shift is what it's called. And it's what's fascinating about this is this was discovered a few months ago. So it's been less than a year that this was discovered. And what's interesting is you start to see the body producing this IgG4 antibody after you've had two shots. And it's specific to the mRNA vaccines. I want to stress that it's the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines where you see this IgG4 shift. You're not seeing it with the AstraZeneca or the J&J. Okay. And so once you've had two shots, the body starts to produce this tolerant antibody to the spike protein. Mm-hmm. But if you've had your third shot, your booster shot, those levels go up 500 times. So you get a 500-fold increase just between COVID vaccine number two to COVID vaccine number three. And then you start producing large amounts of this tolerant antibody to the spike protein. And it really, this antibody, this IgG4 antibody seems to completely mess up cancer surveillance in that it interferes with the other antibodies that are involved in cancer surveillance, like IgG1 and 3. And it seems to almost hide the cancer cells from the immune system by saying, look, like you said, this is not a problem. Don't worry about it. because it's trying to create a tolerance for the spike protein, but now you've created tolerance to cancer cells as well, as an unintended consequence. And yeah. So this is a big area of research right now.
Imagine you're building a bioweapon, and all of these things that we're talking about, many of them, are considered a contamination or an accident. I don't think so. If I were building one and had the medical monolith behind me, I would be putting all of these things into that shot. I would want IgG4 enhanced like this to trick the body yeah. into not going to war against terrible invaders. This is the most diabolically evil weapon I can imagine, and I'm not a scientist. I think
sure
you
is.
See it much more clearly than I, but it's overwhelming. All right, here we go.
And it seems that the more COVID vaccines you take, the more you increase your levels of IgG4 and the more you damage your cancer surveillance. So this is a very serious issue in terms of damaging the immune system.
Has there been enough study, William, to tell whether that starts to tail off after a while? Are you seeing, there's an uptick, but are you seeing any decrease, or does it just seem to be going on in perpetuity?
Well, you know, I can tell you from data that I've seen in the double vaccinated, and when we were still getting data from the Canadian government and the Australian government, when the quadruple vaccinated were filling the hospitals and then the triple vaccinated, the double vaccinated were doing much better. And the double vaccinated mm-hmm. had stopped taking the COVID vaccines, and they were at least a year, year and a half from their last dose, and they seemed to be having immune system recovery. So they were getting infected at a much lower rate than the triple and quadruple vaccinated. It wasn't back to baseline. It wasn't as good as the unvaccinated, but they did have recovery. And this is what I've been trying to stress, is that people have to stop taking these shots. They have to stop yeah. taking these mRNA shots, and you have to give your body a chance to recover, but it's a slow process. So you need at least a year, year and a half for your body to start, your immune system to start recovering mm-hmm. from this damage. And for that, you have to stop taking the shots, because the moment you take another shot, you've exposed your body to the antigen all over again, and you're back to square one in
right.
terms of the immune
right.
damage.
We should also tuck in here into this this terrible recipe we're hearing, the issue of shedding. All right, even if you've been vaxxed once and you've stopped, you're likely going to be around those who have been vaxxed two times, three times, maybe four or five. We don't know. You're exposed all the time to the extent that you may not have to get another shot. You may load up with spike and mRNA just by virtue of being around the vaxxed. So there is great danger there. And for the unvaxxed, we don't know how many people still qualify. There are no pure bloods anymore, we don't think. Everyone's been exposed by now. We figure around 83% is the best number we've gotten, 83, maybe 80, figure, round it off. But someone today told me they went to a doctor, and the doctor said, I'll tell you right now, it's not 80, it's 90%, and I can prove it. I can prove it. This is a top-notch doctor said this. So
really?
Whatever it is, 80 or 90, yeah, it's Kelly Nelson told me that, by the way.
Hmm.
It's 80% at least, and maybe as high as 90. We don't know. But shedding plays an incredibly dangerous role in this whole assault on humanity. Make no mistake about it.
You know, on that topic, this is rather interesting. I've seen these comments before, and I didn't know, you know, how much stock do you put in them. But now I am noticing more and more comments in some of the vax-injured group, and in particular, the people who have been neurologically damaged. They know about shedding. And there have been a few cases where they've been tempted to attend events where there would be, you know, a lot of people.
Lots of people.
And because of their precarious situations, they won't go because they know they're going to be exposed to shedding. And then they've said that. They can't be around crowds of people because of mm-hmm. what's coming off of them. And it immediately causes them to go into a flare where their symptoms get infinitely worse, and they have to spend days recovering.
This equally applies to the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, or I should really appropriately say the injected and the uninjected. I hate to use the term vaccine, but it's become, as they say, de rigueur. That's what they use now. All right, here's a little bit more about the DNA plasmids with Dr. William Mackus being interviewed by Dr. Kelly Victory. Whoops. It just jumped. All right, hold on a second. I'm going to have to move this over, see if I can get it to play. Hold on, 101. The whole page just took off on me. 101. There, that's close enough. I think that'll do it. Let's see if I can get it to play.
That were made for the clinical trials for Pfizer and Moderna were different from the vaccines mm-hmm. that were released to the public, which were mass produced. And this mass production, which is done through DNA plasmids, these rings of DNA that they put into E. coli, and then they grow E. coli into very large mm-hmm. numbers, and they extract these DNA plasmids. Now, these DNA plasmids have the spike protein sequence in them. And then they use these DNA plasmids to create the mRNA. And of course, they modify the mRNA with the pseudouridine, which again is involved in immune suppression through toll-like receptors. But what they were supposed to get rid of this DNA, these DNA plasmids, this contaminant, and they didn't. And so Kevin McKernan, U.S. geneticist, has found large concentrations of DNA contamination in both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Now, he has found not just the DNA rings, but he has found fragments of DNA from these rings, all different kinds of sizes. The danger with this type of contamination, and it's a large amount of contamination, up to 30% of the genetic code in a vaccine vial can be this DNA contamination. The problem with that is that it is very easy for foreign DNA to integrate into our genome. And if it's integrating into the wrong place, let's say it integrates into a tumor suppressor gene area, now you've knocked off a very important tumor suppressor gene that protects you from cancer. Now you've astronomically increased your risk of getting cancer. And so this is a very serious concern. It's been confirmed in labs around the world. It's been confirmed in Germany. It's been confirmed in Japan. Professor Philip Buchholz just testified in the South Carolina Senate hearings about this. He's a cancer geneticist with a big lab. He's confirmed this finding in all the vials of Pfizer and Moderna. So this contamination is a very serious problem on its own. It increases cancer risk, theoretically. And so we would need more studies to find out, you know, if there's been integration events in people who've taken these vaccines, and then if those integration events are causing cancer. Now, there's an additional complication. As if that wasn't bad enough, the additional complication is that Kevin McKernan discovered a sequence of the simian virus 40, SV40 promoter. He discovered this sequence in the Pfizer vials in these DNA plasmids just in front of the spike protein sequence. Now, SV40, this simian virus 40, is an oncogenic virus that causes cancer in humans, and specifically it causes lymphomas and brain cancers, which are two of the top three cancers that I mentioned earlier, the turbo cancers that I'm seeing in COVID vaccinated patients. And there's been no explanation from Pfizer. Pfizer hasn't addressed why there is a sequence of this oncogenic virus, SV40 virus, why it's present in these DNA plasmids in their product, in their vaccine vials.
No explanation. And they have also said, and you may hear that in our next and last clip, that they're not going to make any changes whatsoever in how they produce this death in a needle. Mm-hmm. Not going to say anything. So we talked, as soon as McKernan's work came out, Erica was right on. We talked about that in great detail. Now it's becoming more easily understandable, I think, at least I hope, for all of you listening in regularly. It's not hard. You just have to apply yourself. Listen to these programs twice. This is a very good interview with Dr. Mackus. Okay. 106. I got one more to do here. I think we can duck it in here. There we go. All right.
And so now we've recently had, 2 weeks ago, we've had recommendations by FDA and Health Canada for these new COVID booster shots to be rolled out in children as young as 6 months old, in pregnant women at any stage of pregnancy, in young people, young adults of all ages. And these recommendations were pushed out just a few weeks ago. And so this is a very serious problem. I mean, these products should be immediately taken off the market. And what we see instead, we see the Nobel Prize awarded to, you know, the two scientists who came up with some of these modifications that may be causing the immune system damage, like the pseudouridine modifications, which were invented by Dr. Carrico and Dr. Wiseman, that they've modified, artificially modified the mRNA to put these pseudouridine sequences in, that are, you know, causing potentially damage to the immune system. So I just wanted to mention that this manufacturing, Pfizer and Moderna, have not addressed this issue. They're going to continue the same manufacturing process with all the boosters and future vaccines. Now, the spike protein has toxicity. It interacts with tumor suppressor proteins like P53, like BRCA1, BRCA1, which is implicated in breast cancer and ovarian cancer. P53 is implicated in many cancers like colon cancer, lung cancer, hepatobiliary cancers. It seems to interact with these tumor suppressor proteins, and it seems to negatively impact them. So the spike protein itself causes problems wherever it is expressed in the body. It also seems to interfere with DNA repair. There was a paper that had come out showing that it interferes with DNA repair mechanisms. And again, if you mess with DNA repair, you increase your risk of cancer. So spike protein is very problematic. Now, the lipid nanoparticles themselves are problematic as well.
So this important. We've tried to bring this up, so he's underscoring a lot of the things that are known. It's important.
You know, I'm of the opinion that one day they'll try to rehabilitate this entire lipid nanoparticle mRNA platform and try to blame the spike protein for everything. And I don't believe that the spike protein is the cause of all the COVID vaccine injuries and deaths. It's the entire platform that's faulty. And the problem with the lipid nanoparticles is that they don't stay in the arm. They are immediately end up in the bloodstream, and they get delivered to the bone marrow. When they get delivered to the bone marrow, they're transfecting stem cells. They get delivered to various organs. They are processed in the liver. They're filtered through the hepatobiliary system. So now we're seeing aggressive cancers of the liver, of the gallbladder, of the pancreas, and the colon cancers. They get processed in the kidneys. You end up with aggressive kidney cancers. They end up in the heart. They end up in the brain. And, you know, the lipid nanoparticles, they cross the placenta. So they end up in the fetus.
Right.
These are extremely dangerous products for pregnant women at all stages of pregnancy. You know, in the first trimester, we see congenital malformations in babies and COVID vaccinated women, malformations of the brain, heart, limbs. We see miscarriages. We see stillbirths. We see skyrocketing deaths of babies. When women get vaccinated in the second and third trimester, the fetus stops growing. The woman can go into premature labor. We see increased deaths during delivery. We see postpartum deaths, young mothers collapsing, dying after delivery. So the entire lipid nanoparticle platform is problematic. The lipid nanoparticles themselves are inflammatory and cause immune system issues. We don't know the extent of those issues yet. But just by the very fact that the lipid nanoparticles go systemic, and whatever protein you put in there, whatever mRNA you're putting in there, you are systemically delivering a foreign protein to the bone marrow, to the various organs, where you get expression of this foreign protein where you shouldn't get expression, and it causes all kinds of catastrophic complications. So I truly want to stress that it is the lipid nanoparticle mRNA platform that is highly problematic and should be halted, should be taken off the market, should be suspended until we get independent investigations of this.
Okay, I was very important. Understand that they are trying to manufacture all existing vaccines to a new mRNA lipid nanoparticle platform. So even if you don't get the spike protein and let's say a MMR vax, you're going to get mRNA, and lipid nanoparticles, among many other things that they probably will not even bother to tell us about. Same old story. So this is pure anti-life death. It's just awful. Everything you've heard is all death. Go ahead.
It's a failure. It's one big fail.
Oh, no.
The destruction.
How about one
that,
big
that,
success?
That it,
one big success.
Well,
it's doing exactly
right.
What they wanted. So
Yeah.
It works both ways.
Yeah. And, you know, I would add, in addition to everything Dr. Mack has just mentioned, is the devastation to the microbiome that's occurring after these shots. And people are losing...
Microbiome defined as?
The bacteria that colonize your body, and that includes whatever's in the gut, the large intestine that helps you break down food and then absorb food, synthesize vitamins and minerals and antimicrobial peptides. You have a microbiome on your skin, in your mouth, in your sinus cavity. Every orifice is colonized by protective bacteria. And in particular, the butyrate-producing bacteria, the bifido, but there's other species as well, is just being obliterated following these shots. And without those species of bacteria that produce this very precious compound called butyrate, you're wide open to infections, cancers. Believe it or not, this butyrate that is produced by these bacteria is an integral part of creating a barrier, and the intestinal barrier, the integrity of that barrier, and signaling molecules that control for cancer. So I think that's another piece of the puzzle that's easily overlooked because, you know, we just don't pay attention to that as much as we do the direct effect on human cells with this poison.
Without a
healthy microbiome, you're really defenseless.
That means your whole body. Aren't we like about sort of, what is it, 50% bacteria? Our
57,
weight?
I think it's 50, is it 57?
It's 57%
it's bacteria, 43% human cells. They are in the majority.
Yeah.
So if you're not taking care of them or they're being wiped out by something you're doing, you're in trouble.
The microbiome, don't just think digestive tract, okay? Think your whole body because that's what the microbiome is. Well, we've heard so many things this hour. I hope you'll listen again, make notes if you have to. I want to thank Dr. Kelly Victory and Dr. Drew for sharing that interview with Dr. William Mackis. Very important information. Okay. We also heard how the P53 and the blastoma and the other, there are a number of anti-tumor functions that the body carries out with these organ or with these various genes. What's a P53? An antibody?
No, it's a protein that signals, you know, whether the cell should live or die.
That's right.
You know, the cell has damage beyond what it determines can be repaired, then the P53 will signal
like
that cell to die.
Right.
And the immune system will come along and get rid of it.
So these things are all being overcome, neutralized, defeated, destroyed by these injections. It's no wonder that turbo cancers are running wild. I still believe there may be other components to it that we're not being told about. Wouldn't be surprised at all.
You know, you've got the microclotting, which creates low oxygen in the tissues. You've got accumulating iron. Cancer thrives on iron.
We got to wrap it up. Hurry up real quick.
Yeah, and so the stage is set. You have multiple risk factors that are in play to favor the creation of cancer.
It's there. All right, we are running very late. Thank you.
Okay.
Great job as always. A lot of good information there. Okay.
Okay, Jeff, thank you. Have a good weekend, everyone.
All right, we'll be right back with hour number 3 coming up next.